We've been teaching on the subject of prayer, and you've been in some of these services. We actually started it on the live stream broadcast before we were able to come back together. And we're going to continue on that this morning, but it's going to be a little different than the way we've been going. Like I said, this has not been necessarily just a line-upon-line series, you know, progressive teaching on a particular truth, but just different things the Lord puts on our heart concerning prayer. And so we're going to get into that again this morning, but the way I'm going to approach it this morning, basically I'm just giving my title, Things That Prayer Won't Take the Place Of. Because I'll be honest, there's a lot of confusion in the church world as a whole. Maybe not in your thinking, but in the church world as a whole, there's a whole lot of confusion about prayer. And in my observation and trying to understand where people are coming from and listening to them, and the way they always say, pray, please pray, they have the idea that prayer is a cure-all. I mean, you just pray about things whenever really, if you knew some things, what God said in His Word, you wouldn't be praying about certain things. Or if you were praying, you'd be praying differently. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. And so I want to talk to this morning about things that prayer won't take the place of. And really, God gave me seven of them, I believe, or six. I have to check here. Seven of them. And I can't get through them all this morning, nor am I going to try. But I am going to emphasize at least two of them. We'll see. I think maybe two of them might be all we get to. But there's a lot of people asking God, maybe not you, maybe you're learning some things different about what I'm getting ready to say, but, and we've got to help other people is what I'm saying here. There's a lot of people that are asking God to do something that the Bible says He either is not going to do or He has already done it. You understand? Now, what do I mean? Things that He's not going to do. Well, you know, He's not going to make people do something. People pray, Lord, make them do this, make them do that. He's not going to make anybody do anything. He will deal with people. Amen. What do I mean by saying He's already done? They're asking Him to do something that He's already done. Well, people are saying, Lord, bless us. People are saying, Lord, heal them, heal them. People are saying all kinds of things, and He's already done it. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And, you know, He's already, you know, given us the victory. The Bible talks about Him giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we always triumph because He's already given us all that. And, you know, that doesn't mean we won't have things come against us, but we have some things already that people are praying about. You know, people are asking, Lord, if I could just be right with You, you know. Well, they're praying God make them right with them whenever really He already did through the blood of Jesus. And on, you could go on. And there's a lot of people that pray and want me to agree that I can't really agree with them. Now, like I said, maybe not you because you're sitting and hearing the Word. And so, but Brother Hagin said he wouldn't, because somebody would come to him and say, well, I would like you to agree with me on something. And he said, okay, what is it? And they would say, well, do I have to tell you? In other words, they had a silent request. Anybody ever heard that one? How am I going to agree on something I don't know what I'm agreeing on? You might have, your request might be, Lord, give me so-and-so's wife or something like that. I can't agree with you on that. You think that's stupid, but people do things like that. Or me and my fiance, we're having sex. Would you agree with us that she won't get pregnant? I know it sounds stupid, but I'm telling you where people are. You just step outside the church doors and all of a sudden you run into people that think really different than we do. You know what I'm talking about? So, because they're trying to get us to agree on something we can't agree on. Or they're in another category, they're trying to get us to agree or pray about something that God, there's no use praying about it. God said He's already done that. You know what I'm talking about. So Anyway, what are some things that won't take the place of prayer? The first one is knowledge. Knowledge of God. That will never take the place of prayer. Now, when I say the knowledge of God, I'm talking about getting the Word in us. Prayer will never take the place of getting the Word in us. You realize whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. But he's not just talking about just any old thing you desire. Like I just mentioned, you know, somebody desires somebody else's wife. You got to take that in context with the rest of the scriptures. And if people don't have the Word in them, that's just an obvious illustration. We could make, people say things that are less, pray things that are less obvious. But unless you have the Word in you, you're going to be asking for things that he can't do or won't do or has already done. You understand? So, like when the Word gets in us, remember the Bible said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. If his Word abides in us, then we'll know what his will is and we'll be praying in line with his will. We won't be asking for things that are outside of his word because his word tells us what his will is. His word is his will. I know that's simple, but let's keep on going with this. And so we're told to make sure that the word of Christ dwells in us richly, aren't we? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So when the word of God gets in us, it changes our thinking. Yes. And there is, prayer can never take the place of getting the word of God in us, getting knowledge of God and changing our thinking. You can pray until you peel the paint off the walls in that prayer room you're in. But if you still come out of there still thinking wrong, there's going to be things in God you'll never experience. Because you're going to be zigging when he's zagging. You know what I'm talking about? And so prayer will not take the place of getting the knowledge of God, getting the word in you or changing your thinking or getting your mind renewed. Amen. Now, this has been greatly emphasized in the New Testament. I don't think the body of Christ emphasizes this the way the Bible emphasizes it. You take, for example, some verses. The Bible says in Romans 10:2, he warns us against zeal without knowledge. People can be zealous and even zealous in prayer. And I mean, they work up a sweat in prayer. But if it's not according to knowledge, then the Bible does not commend that. It doesn't give a whizzo button to anybody that does that. Hello? And so it does not recommend zeal without knowledge. You can be zealous about something. Take for example, I can be real zealous to get to Des Moines before 2:00 today and get in a big hurry and get real zealous about it and go down Interstate 380 and hit 80 and turn east and I'm zealous to get to Des Moines, but I'm going the wrong direction. Isn't that right? Zeal without knowledge doesn't really get you where you want to be. You understand what I'm talking about? You aren't going to get there with just zeal. It takes knowledge of God, the knowledge of his word. Isn't that right? And so people do that in prayer. They're zealous in prayer, but they don't know what the word says, and so they'll never get there. Just like I'll never get to Des Moines. In fact, a lot of times their zeal going in the wrong direction, their zeal gets them further and further from God and further from what they want from him. You understand what I'm talking about? And further from victory. And so the Bible commends zeal with knowledge. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In other words, being ignorant of the knowledge of God is embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah. We ought to make it as embarrassing as the Bible says it is. I mean, the Bible does not congratulate ignorance. Hello. I'm not talking about ignorance of science, ignorance of math, or ignorance of other things. Thank God for those things. They got their place. But I'm talking about the knowledge of God. You understand? He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, Ephesians 1:17, one of the main prayers that we ought to be praying, it prays that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That ought to be the thing you focus in on people who are struggling. Pray that God will reveal to them, give them the knowledge of who they are. Knowledge of Him, knowledge of who they are in Him, knowledge of what He did for them, knowledge of redemption, knowledge of righteousness, knowledge of the authority of the believer, knowledge of their exalted position, knowledge that they're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, and knowledge that the devil's under their feet. Knowledge that they're healed, knowledge that they're blessed, knowledge that they've all, and I just go on and on and on. Knowledge that they're forgiven, knowledge that they're cleansed, knowledge that there is no shame, the past is gone, knowledge of greater is He that's in them than he that's in the world, and they are always conquerors, more than triumphant. Get the knowledge of these things. Because whenever they see it and get the knowledge of it, I'm not just talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about revelation knowledge, which is, of course, progressive. When they get the revelation knowledge of these things, the devil's heyday is over. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Many people are fighting darkness when they ought to be shining the light. Shining the light. Looking in the light. Meditating in the light. The entrance of His Word gives light. So he prayed that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Ephesians 4:13. We are to grow up and come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, children that are born into your home or someone's home here in the church, that something is wrong if they don't grow. Something's wrong. That is not normal. And the same thing's true spiritually. Something's wrong if they're not growing in the unity of the faith. Then he said that we might grow into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Something's wrong if we don't know Him better today than we did last year at this time. Or don't know the Word better than we did last year at this time. Amen. It's not normal. It's not okay. It's not commended. Hello? Everybody still glad you came? 1 Timothy 2:4, God's will, he said, God is not willing that any should perish. He said there, though, he said that all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Yeah. Isn't that right? In other words, come into the, not just be born again, but get the knowledge of God. Begin to know who He is. Begin to know their Father. Who is He? What's He like? How does He interact with them? How do they interact with Him? How do they approach Him? What has He said for, He has done for us? Who is He? Who are we? Who is the devil? What are His strategies? See, the Word not only reveals God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but it reveals redemption. It reveals what He has done. It reveals who we are in Christ. It reveals our position, how He sees us. It reveals also God's ways and the way He does things. And we've got to get the knowledge of the way He does things. There's times people say things to me that they're praying about, and I just know on the inside, He's not, I know Him, I don't know Him perfectly yet, but I know Him enough to know He's not going to go for that. Because I know His ways. Because of, for whatever reason, their motives or methods or something are not right, and whatever. But, so it shows us, the Word of God, reveals us, and reveals the devil. You have to know that the Word, what you need to know about the devil, you don't need to go study the occult. You have to go study the Word. The Word will tell you what you need to know about the enemy. Amen. So he said, Ephesians 4:13, we were to grow in the unity of the faith. And then 1 Timothy 2:4, he wants us to be saved. He wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. How many of you know it's people's ignorance that defeats them? 2 Peter 1:2-3, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Well, I just need more peace. No, you need more knowledge.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello? Grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God. And, of course, acting on the knowledge. How many of you know the Bible told us how to have peace? It has a lot to do with controlling our thought life. Of course, there's different reasons people lose peace. They can lose peace because their conscience, you know, bothering them. But there's a lot of the main issue when it comes to peace is controlling our thought life. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. I'm praying for peace. Okay, get the knowledge of how to keep that, get that peace and keep that peace. It has to do with your thought life. And that's all in God's word, isn't it? So he said, grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God. And then verse 3, God's power is said, his power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Power works through knowledge. There has been electric power on the planet since creation. But it's only been the last, 25 years? I'd have to go back and look at the dates when Edison discovered how to harness electricity and they learned all the things they learned. They keep learning, but how many years has it been? It's not been 125 yet, I don't think. It's only been the last century plus. No, it's not even been a century, has it? Anyway, you can tell my history is kind of all fuzzy, but you understand what I'm talking about. Men have not had knowledge of electricity until more recent times. And now we use it and it's a great blessing. Isn't that right? But it's been here the whole time. Why didn't we know more? Was it because we didn't pray hard enough? Huh? No. It had to be revealed. It had to have, we had to have knowledge of it. Isn't that right? And so 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we are, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're commanded to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Boy, that takes discipline. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because there are things coming to our mind all the time, and we've got to filter it through. Is that in line with the word that reveals God to me? Is that in line with what I know about God? Is that in line with what I know about his word? Is it in line with what I know about myself? How many of you know you shouldn't be thinking wrong thoughts about yourself? Amen. Bible said, know no man after the flesh. That includes yourself. Don't know yourself. Well, I'm just weak. I'm just this. You know, I have this fault. I have this. Well, you're knowing yourself after the flesh. You are who God said you are. You're the righteousness of God. You're more than a conqueror. You're cleansed without shame before him and so forth and so on. And we could go on and on there, but we're to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, bring every thought into captivity to in obedience to the knowledge of God that we have in his word. Well, if you don't have the knowledge of God, you're at a disadvantage, and you can't cast down wrong knowledge if you don't have right knowledge. Amen. This getting right knowledge will do more for you than just about anything else. And everything in God works through knowledge. Healing works through knowledge of it. Knowledge of what he did, yes, but knowledge of how to receive it. Knowledge of believing you receive. Knowledge, there's different methods of receiving and so forth. But see, following the Spirit into the knowledge of what's going to, how you're going to receive it this time.
That's right.
I was going to say how God's going to do it. He already did it. We have to just follow the Spirit into receiving it. Well, how do I know that? You got to get the knowledge of God from the Word, but the Holy Spirit will take you into that. He's the teacher, isn't he? Whenever he comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll teach you all things. Oh, yes, he will. He'll teach you all sorts of stuff. And so God, everything in God works through knowledge. The devil works through ignorance. Hosea 4:6, lack of knowledge. I mean, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. My people, that's God's people. He didn't say the world. He said my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, that would include not only a lack of knowledge, but that would include wrong knowledge. Because some people have knowledge, but it's wrong knowledge about God. It's not reality. Jesus brought this up when it came to prayer. He said, don't be as the heathen and use vain repetitions, because he said, they think, say think, they'll be heard for their much speaking. Because they think it, does that make it true? Huh? No. If it's preached from a pulpit, what somebody thinks is preached from a pulpit, does that make it true? No. If it's said by somebody who's the head of a church worldwide, does that make it true? No. Because they think something doesn't make it true. We can think something just because we like to think that God and us, you know, we're tight. We think the same about everything. Probably not. Probably not. Probably not. Amen. Hello. Y'all are looking at me funny. There can be, in other words, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge could include wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge is a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of true knowledge. It's knowledge, but it's wrong knowledge. So the world says what you don't know can't hurt you, and God says what you don't know can be your undoing. Because my people are destroyed. Some translations say that it's their undoing. I know of a lot of good, God-loving, God-fearing, praying Christians. Born again, love God. But the devil doesn't run from you because you're born again and love God. Or you are a praying Christian. We don't pray against the devil. Amen. He runs from authority. That's the only thing he recognizes. And, you know, Satan can take people out who are born again, love God, praying people. He can take them out. And the only reason, I've known a lot of Christians like this, that their undoing was lack of knowledge, not a lack of love for God. We're taught to love God, aren't we? We're taught to pray, aren't we? And be committed to him and so forth and so on. But you can do all those things and lack knowledge. And Satan will take advantage of that because he takes advantage of ignorance. Isn't that right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Pastor Jay, I know all this. Wonderful, I do too. But it has to be a continual revelation. The other day, standing in our kitchen, I said to Debbie, I said, I'm seeing something. I've known this, but I'm seeing it more than I have ever seen it. I said, one of your love languages is just spending time talking to you. And boy, that didn't go over real big. We've been married this long and you're just now getting that. I said, I didn't say I'm just now getting that. I said, I've been knowing it, but I'm seeing it in a clear way that I've seen it forever. Boy, it got quiet on me. What happened here? Something. There's progression to revelation. You can know it in your head and then it hits you. And one day you're like, oh, really? I see now it's really true. There are degrees of revelation. Oh, you guys were afraid to say amen on that one. Yeah, hey, a single man has it. Hey, he's good quality. Where are the girls at? Look at him right there. Available, good looking, tall, dark, and handsome. Praise the Lord. Taking applications right now. Who's it? He's embarrassed, but you can't tell it by looking at him. It's not fair. Us, we look all red whenever we get embarrassed, and he can't tell. Never. Anyway. I just think we need to laugh more today, don't you think? We've been holed up too long, you know. Amen. I got my amen corner up here. Praise God. So my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge, right? And the word reveals God. It also reveals Satan. And I want to spend some time on this. Because if you're ignorant, remember there we just quoted 2 Corinthians 2:13 or 2:11. He said, we're not ignorant. He said, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. That tells us how Satan gets the advantage over people. Even born-again believers who have been redeemed from his authority, redeemed from him lording it over them, and they have been seated far above. Every believer is seated far above the enemy. Come on. But if they've been redeemed from him, how is it that they encounter him so much and he whoops them so much? One reason, they don't know it. They might have been to church and the sound of it bounced off their eardrums, but it hasn't sunk in yet. And his devices is to keep people ignorant. He wants to hold them in the mental realm, in the flesh realm, and try to figure things out in the mental and in the flesh. The word exposes the enemy and shines the light on him. And it shines the light on his strategies. And he can no longer operate in your life freely when you have the light of how he's doing it. You understand what I'm talking about? He tries to keep people ignorant of what he's doing and the way he's accomplishing it. But when the light shines on him, his strategies doesn't work anymore. The word will help you not be ignorant of Satan's devices and his strategies and keep you from continually falling for them. I've talked to people before. They've struggled in the area, young men most of the time, but struggled in the area of pornography. And I'm compassionate and not condemning, but I say, let's examine what starts opening the door to you being tempted like that and falling. What's the pattern? I've had them say different things. You know, I get tired, I get weak, and, you know, spiritually I'm not built up and different things. I say, okay, recognize the strategy. Recognize the strategy. Amen. Because Satan uses certain things for certain ones. Of us, in all, everyone on every area, every one of us have an area where Satan has tripped us up over and over again. You know what I'm talking about? It might be offense, it might be unforgiveness, it might be different things. I mean, you could just list a long list, but that's not important. What is important is recognizing how he's working. It could be just wrong mentalities put in us from what somebody said to us years ago, and we took it and believed it or something. And because of that, and because we've not yet gotten that mentality out of us, renewed our mind to the true knowledge of God, who we really are, how God sees us, then Satan uses that ignorance of who we really are to trip us up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we keep falling for his strategies. But as soon as the revelation of what he's doing and how he's doing it hits us, many people are good-hearted. They want to close the door. They just don't realize what's happening. But as soon as they realize it, bam, they close that door and his heyday's over. He's going to have to beat a path around their life trying to get in because he just doesn't have a door open to him anymore. I mean, let me know, he does keep beating a path, but you don't have to just be falling for his strategies anymore. You can keep him out. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go home and listen to my service myself. I'm enjoying this. I'm not taking credit for this. God gave me all this. And so we're now, when we get the knowledge of the word, we're now aware. And we no longer live in the dark and confused about what's really going on whenever these things, you know, cause us to trip up and fall and, you know, fall for his devices. Amen. Hallelujah. But you can only do that if you have knowledge. Satan wants us, like I said, to keep fighting the darkness rather than just keep shining the light. Just keep shining. The light is what he can't comprehend. Amen. This verse didn't say here in Hosea 4:6, it didn't say that we're destroyed because of the devil. If you know his strategies, he really has no place. The Bible said, give no place. to the devil. Well, I've been praying hard. Praying hard. You can pray hard and still give place to the devil through wrong thinking. Doesn't mean you're in some big sin. You understand when I say give place to the devil, I'm talking about just wrong thinking or ignorance of the truth of God's word can give him place. People think they need prayer, and what they need is to sit their seat on the chair and get knowledge. That's the truth. They've got things going on in all these arena of their lives. Pray for this. They'll come in here sometime. Pray for this. Pray for this. Pray for this. Pray for this. They got things all through their lives that are messed up. And we have compassion on people, but we understand we can pray, but as soon as they leave here, they're going to go out from our authority, and now they're under their own authority, and Satan's going to take advantage of their ignorance of the truth, just like he has been, and hold them in bondage. And that prayer, you might as well have twiddled your thumbs and said over them, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." That's going to do just about as much good as praying for them that way. I mean, praying for them that way. Pray. Here's how you pray. Lord, open the eyes of their understanding. Give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because, listen, Satan, when it says neither give place to the devil, he's talking about Satan can't just take a place in a believer's life at will. He can't just do it anytime he wants. We have to, now this is hard for us to sometimes look at, but we have to give him place. He can't just take it, we have to give it. Remember Ephesians 4:27? Neither give place to the devil. Is that verse true? Well then, if he's active in an area of our life, who do we get mad at? Ouch, Pastor. I know, but it's true for me just like it's true for you. I get ouched on my own sermon, my own preaching sometimes. Ouch. Now, listen to me very carefully. In other words, to give him place means give our consent to it. I didn't give the devil consent, maybe not knowingly. I'm letting that sink in. Maybe we did it without knowing we did. Maybe we did it in ignorance. And I say ignorant, people use that word today in a vulgar way. The Bible uses it in a sense of just a lack of knowledge. I don't mean that vulgar or derogatory. I just mean, it's just like if somebody doesn't know certain things about math or science, they're held out of certain abilities or whatever, But ignorance of the Word of God will hold you out of some things in God. And Satan will take advantage of it. And he can only do it through our consent. If the Bible means anything, if words mean anything, we give him place. That's the only way he can have a place in our lives. Well, I don't know where I gave him place. Exactly. It was a consent many times in many believers' lives. It was a consent, but it was a consent of ignorance. Listen, we all ought to put our nose in the carpet and say, "Lord, every day, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Show me the truth, the true knowledge of your word, that I might see what I need to see, hear what I need to hear, and understand what I need to understand, and make the adjustments and close the doors where he's not getting in like he's been getting in." Do you know if we'll do that? Remember it said in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God." The degree of the renewing of our mind determines the degree of the will of God we're walking in. When I say the will of God, in this case, I'm talking about the blessings of God. You and I can't keep thinking wrong about finances and obtain the perfect will of God financially, which is freedom financially and all debts paid off and having abundant supply and giving to every good work. You know what I'm talking about? Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the perfect will of God for all his people, because we're redeemed from the curse of the law, curse of poverty. Well, we're all walking in different degrees of that. And it's according to the renewing of our mind and how much Satan's able to take advantage of our ignorance, if there's any ignorance. Y'all following me? Sometimes we're thinking wrong and don't realize we're thinking wrong. That's why we have to constantly sit under the Word, because the Word will show those things up. Because it's a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it'll show you, wait a minute. And the Holy Ghost will take the words on the page and bring them off the page at you. And you'll say, oh my goodness, I've been thinking totally wrong. And people can live, I am a people, so I know this, can live for decades and not realize they've been having the door open to the enemy and just through wrong thinking, just wrong knowledge. They thought, remember Naaman? Whenever he came to Elijah to be healed, Elijah didn't come out. He didn't pray. He didn't lay hands on him. He said, sent his servant out and said, tell Naaman to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and his flesh will come seeing. And Naaman, the man who came to be healed, he went away mad and he said, surely I thought. That was the problem. He thought something different than what God thought. And he almost did without his healing because he had his ideas about something that were not in line with what God actually said about his case. Boy, I'm preaching better than your amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you can be a precious, believe me, trust me, precious, praying, love God Christian and committed to him, maybe even better than some of us. Amen. And their undoing will be their lack of knowledge. I'm not preaching against commitment. I'm not preaching against prayer. I'm not preaching against loving God. That's also the knowledge of God, isn't it? But this consent, this area of consent is something we need to understand. Now, in Luke 23, write these two references down. Luke 23, 34. And then Luke 9. And then write down verses 52 through 56. Both of those passages, Luke 23:34 and Luke 9, 52 through 56. Both of these passages, like in Luke 23, for example, it talks about Jesus on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Remember that? Father, forgive them. What's the next words? They know not what they're doing. They didn't realize what they were yielding to. In all reality, they were yielding to evil spirits. You understand that? They don't know what spirit they're yielding to. And God said, forgive them, Father. Or Jesus, excuse me. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Then in Luke 9, this is whenever a couple of disciples wanted to call down fire on a city that didn't receive him. You remember that? You want us to call fire down, Jesus, and consume this bunch? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Okay, in both of those cases, here's people yielding to evil spirits, but they didn't know it. You know, not everybody yielding to evil spirits have their eyes rolled back in their head and look like they're out of their head. They look just as normal as anybody until they open their mouth and say things that are totally against God's word. Huh? Come on, tell me I'm preaching all right. They look normal. They're not demon possessed, but they've yielded to something that has been propagated by evil spirits. And they say it and propagate it and think it's true. They might even be talking about God. You know, I've heard people say things like, that's speaking in tongues, that's of the devil. Where'd they get that thought? Well, they just got it from somebody else, Pastor, but who got that thought originally? Huh? Now, you think I'm really out of my head or something. Listen to me very carefully. In many cases where people give place to the devil or yield to an evil spirit, they don't even know that they've done it. That's why it's imperative that we constantly are washing our mind in the water of the Word. Because it's easy to just go along with what everybody thinks and, groupthink. If you found the way most people think, you found a lie. No, Pastor. No. Okay. Oh, yeah. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. I've had people look me in the eyes and say to me, you're narrow-minded. I said, thank you. I take that as a compliment. Narrow-minded? Yes. Narrow is the way. Well, you're not open to this idea or that idea. No, because I'm casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, you're not open-minded. No. I'm not opening my mind to what everybody else thinks. I'm open to what the Word says. And by the way, narrow-minded and healed. Narrow-minded and free. Narrow-minded and blessed. You're open-minded and look at your life. Confused as a $13 bill. Glory, I've been waiting to preach directly to you. I haven't got to see you for a while. Amen. Now, a lot of these people aren't yet spiritually developed enough to recognize what Spirit's motivating them. What voice they're listening to. Now listen, we don't beat them up for it. How many of you know we were all there at one time? And maybe to a degree still are. I'm just going to say it. I know it's not going to be popular, but I'm going to say it. When I hear the news media pushing something day in and day out, I always get suspicious. What's the agenda? Where are you coming from? What's your motivation? Why do you want everybody to think that way? I always get suspicious. I don't mean that I'm just, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I just know they're speaking, they're a mouthpiece for the devil. Amen. They've pushed fear on this nation. They've pushed lies on this nation. And I'm not just going to think their thoughts after them just because they're on the news and everybody in America can hear them. So just take their thought for it because they're somebody. You're nobody to me. You're nobody. Nobody. I'll tell you who somebody is. Somebody that's walked with God for a long time. The world might not even know them. A grandma that has walked with God and has the knowledge of God. Brother Juan was kind of surprised. We're going to be going down to Mexico to preach. And I said, he was telling me about his grandmother and how she's walked with God all these years. And because of her prayer life and the way she lived and set the example before them, her whole family coming into the things of God and everything. And Brother Juan was surprised because I said, when I go down there, I want to meet her. He looked like, really? You want to meet my grandma? I said, yeah, I want to meet her. Said, how old is she now? 90. She's 90 now. Walked with God, prayed her whole family in. I said, I want to meet her. Because to me, she's somebody. She's somebody. Some of these blowhards on the news, they're nobody. And some politicians are nobodies. Come on, tell me I'm preaching all right. I want to hear what she knows. Maybe she knows something. She knows God in maybe in a way I don't know. I want to tell me, Grandma, can I bring you some tacos, Grandma? Tell me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm about to explode up here. No, these people, a lot of times, they're ignorant, but they're ignorant without knowing they're ignorant. We don't beat them up for it. We were the same way for a long time. You know, when it comes to Christians, a lot of times their hearts are right. And listen, God, that'll get you a long ways. But yet, right on the other hand, Satan will take advantage of what you don't know. Amen. And so the answer for them is not to, you know, beat them up. The answer for them is to give them the truth. And help them to grow up and grow out of that. Now, some people aren't hungry for it. You realize. But what do? We pray for those people that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When it comes to prayer, it's no use praying for the this and the that so many times. It's pray that they would see who they are. They would see the place that God's given them, their redemptive rights, and who they are. Am I in the right room?
Yes, sir.
And so, as we do that, God will have an opening to reveal himself to them. Amen. And a lot of times that means connecting with the right pastor or right church. Because Jeremiah 3:15, I'll give you pastors after my heart. What's God's heart? What's God's heart, Jeremiah? Tell us, Jeremiah. I want to know what God's heart is. I'll give you pastors after my heart, which shall feed them with knowledge and understanding. Pray for me, Pastor. Okay, Lord, we ask you to give them knowledge and understanding. No, I wanted you to pray for this. Pray for that. No use praying for this or that. God already did this or that. Ooh, it's tight, but it's right. Pray that God will show them who they are. God will reveal them their exalted position, the authority they have as a believer. Most Christians, if you listen to them talk, they're impotent. It's because of a lack of knowledge. And they're in unbelief because of a lack of knowledge. There's two kinds of unbelief. Did you know that? There's unbelief where people don't know. And then there's unbelief where people have heard, but they just reject it. Disobedience. The Bible calls the second one disobedience. But the people that are in unbelief because of a lack of knowledge, the answer for that is not to pray harder, but to, Lord, give them knowledge. Give them revelation. Pray for revelation. Revelation would solve the faith problem, and that would solve the devil problem. Now go to 2 Peter. I got to wrap some things up here. Oh, man, I'm not getting as far as I would have liked to, but that's fine. We're getting help. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look with me at verse 20. He said, "If after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." So he's talking about people who get saved and have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, so what is the pollution of the world? I believe from the way this is stated. Well, first of all, let's back up to Ephesians 5. Not we won't turn there, but for time's sake, just remember Ephesians 6, verses 10, 11, 12, down 13. He said, "Be strong in the Lord, but in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiles means crafty deceptions of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world." Most Christians need to hear that. We're not dealing with flesh and blood. The problems are not people. It's principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are not flesh and blood people. Those are demonic forces. And he lists them in four categories, four ranks. Principalities, he starts from the lowest and goes to the highest. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, in heavenly places. So there's rank. And there's order in the kingdom of darkness, just like there's order in the kingdom of God. Satan got it from God. And the little imps, they follow the direction of the higher ones, and then the higher ups follow, give them direction, and so forth and so on. And so he mentions them there, and when he says, here in 2 Peter 2:20, he said they've escaped the pollution of this world. I believe that's what he's talking about. The principalities and powers and so forth and so on. But that's not that there's more revelation here than just that. Because notice how they escaped it. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the pollution of this world is indirectly these evil spirits, but directly the pollution is wrong knowledge that these demon spirits propagate. Are you with me? Because they will push lies. Remember Jesus said they are liars. Satan is a liar. Everybody under him is a liar. Everybody that listens to him is a liar. Everybody that yields to him. Everybody that thinks his thoughts that he gave them, they're lying. You got to get to the place, 1 John 5, what, is it 18? Is reality to you. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth under the dominion of the wicked one. There is mass deception in our society. Mass deception. It comes in to push things like, you know, homosexuality is the way people are born. You can hear that so much that you start thinking, well, maybe so. Not so. Not true. That's against the knowledge. The knowledge. And that's just one example. There are dozens of examples. Dozens of different things that Satan deceives people in mass. If you find something that's being pushed real hard and real popular in Hollywood or culture or movies or music or something like that, you've just found something that a demon is pushing. Those people don't serve God. Tell me I'm preaching all right. So this pollution that's in this world, this wrong knowledge. Okay, let's go back to verse 20. After they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled there and they overcome. The latter end is worse than the first. You know, once you come out of the darkness and you get the light, it's now more, even more dangerous to go back into the darkness. To go back. I've watched people be transformed. See, the transformed life is not just through getting saved. It's being transformed by the renewing of their mind. I've watched people come to church and get transformed by the renewing of their mind and then just begin to give a little place to the devil. Just a little thought. And that thing, they stew on that and stew on that, and the devil keeps hounding them about that. And eventually, he starts giving them another thought. And they take that one, then another thought. I've watched people in 3 months' time go from sane, normal, to thinking the most vile thoughts. Doing the most vile things with their body. Taking the most destructive things into their body, as you can imagine any sinner would do, because they let some of that pollution in. Amen. Are you still with me? We're in a spiritual atmosphere. Do you realize that? We are living in a spiritual atmosphere. We have God and the devil fighting for our thoughts. God wants to have, he wants us to take his thoughts. Satan wants us to take his thoughts. And whether we take Satan's thoughts or God's thoughts is up to us. But we've got to examine everything that's coming to us and just be guarded, like when you're watching the news or young people, when you're listening to music. There's subtle innuendos being put into you that they're propagating, trying to get you think certain ways. It's your mind. You decide how you're going to think. And you decide you're going to let God think thoughts for you, and you think his thoughts after him. Otherwise, your mind's going to get polluted. Say polluted. With the thoughts and, the things that Satan brings to people's minds. So this verse says we escape the pollution through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this pollution, can you understand whenever I show you that, you can see then if the way you escape the pollution is through the knowledge of Jesus, that tells you what the pollution is. It's the lies and deception and wrong knowledge of the world. Are you with me? So the pollution is wrong knowledge, lies. And it can get, he's talking to believers here, and he's saying even this can even get into believers' lives. People sometimes, whenever they vote, they say, well, I want to vote for him because he's a Christian. I've seen people run who claim to be Christians that don't know God at all. Now, I'm not going to judge if they're born again, but I do know by the way they think and the way they talk, their mind is not renewed with the Word of God. You understand? Their life would be transformed if they knew the truth. They wouldn't say things like they say it. I don't vote for them because they're Christian. I vote for somebody that the Spirit of God says they're the one. And listen, none of us have our mind renewed totally, so don't look for a perfect person. You understand? There's nobody perfect. But anyway, that's all free. We get rid of the pollution from our minds by right knowledge of God. Now listen to me. Not prayer. Prayer can't replace this. Prayer can't take the place of this. Well, I pray hard. I'm praying that I would be free. Get right knowledge. Get and renew your mind to right knowledge. Are you with me this morning? This is really called renewing the minds, what it's talking about. And so this pollution can get in Christians' minds through listening to people talk whose minds are polluted with the spiritual pollution of this world. Amen. Oh, this is so big inside of me. There are some things prayer won't fix. Only right knowledge will fix. You understand? Praying more won't do it for you. Prayer's not a cure-all. You can hear the weakness in some Christians' voices. And they're praying, but they're still weak. It's because they think wrong. A lot of times prayer won't get the whine out of people's voices. It won't get that weakness out of their constitution. Amen. That defeat out of their confession. And that wrong thinking out of their mentality. Only revelation knowledge will fix that. Amen. Now, this is not what people want. They want prayer. Huh? Pray for me, Pastor. Pastor Wright got me saying that. Pray for me, Pastor. Huh? And you want to say, do you know who you are? Do you know God will hear you as quick as he'll hear me? But that knowledge hasn't dawned on them. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Listen, don't be mad at me, but some ministers help people be deceived like that because they get everybody to look to them for their prayers rather than teach them who they are and that they can pray and that they got the same standing before God I have. Listen, you've got the same standing before God Jesus has. Whoa, not me, Pastor. See, wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Not our own. Not our own brand, our own variety. His. Wrong knowledge. Tell me I'm preaching better as I go on. That's not what people want. They don't want to renew their minds. That sounds too much like work. They just want somebody else to pray for them. And they go their way with a Band-Aid on their cancer. And they get a little relief for a while. Hello. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to just bring the facts. Praise the Lord. When we get the knowledge of God in folks, that'll make all the difference. And they'll sound different. They'll talk different. They'll think different. Amen. They'll say things like, you know, the devil, last night he laid his hand on my baby. But Pastor, I didn't even call you. I didn't need you, Pastor. I knew I had authority. I knew who God made me. Oh, yeah, I like that. Because you know why I like that? Because I get to sleep all night. Praise the Lord. Amen. But see, it's true. How many of you know whenever we know who we are, you just need to, you just need to step out over the fires of hell, swing out over hell on a cornstalk, spit in the devil's eye, and say, I know who I am. I've been getting pastor to pray, now I know who I am. And you're just as scared of me, Mr. Devil, as you are of pastor, and now you're even more scared because I got knowledge of who I am. Woo, glory to God. It'll get that whine out of your voice. Amen. You know, you can hit on a can and know what's in the, whether it's full or empty, you know, and know if something's in there or not. When the devil hits on you, what's it sound like? We know if you got the word in there or if you're empty or not. All believers have authority over the devil, but not all believers have the knowledge of it. They don't know that he's been dethroned. They don't know they've been raised and seated with Jesus far above. Isn't that right? Why is he still walking about then? Well, notice what it says, 1 Peter 5:8-9. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Well, I keep encountering him. If he's defeated, why is he still walking around? Because the Bible makes it plain, though he's defeated, he's not yet imprisoned. The day's coming, there's going to be chains put around him. He's going to be thrown in a pit for 1,000 years. And he'll be in prison. He won't be walking around. But today, he's defeated, but he's still walking around. And he is active today. But he's looking for whom he may devour. That's right. I'm a may not. Not because I have been redeemed from him. Everybody that's a born-again believer has been redeemed from him. But he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Whom may he devour? He can devour people that don't have the knowledge of who they are, don't have the knowledge of their rights. Knowledge, tell your neighbor, he's preaching about knowledge. Ignorance allows him to do things that he doesn't have the right to do, but he'll do it as a criminal. You know what I mean? Whenever you have knowledge, you rise up and you say, not here, not now. I know what you're trying to do. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He can devour people who don't know their rights. And of course, then who don't exercise their rights. Well, I had intention to get into a lot more, but I think right there is a good place to start. Or to stop. Did I say start? That was a word of prophecy right there. That's prophecy. Inspired utterance in a known tongue. Let me just say this about confession, because this will just be real brief here. When it comes to confession, there's things that prayer can't take the place of. And really, one of the things that it can't take the place of is what you say. Amen. Or it can't take the place of speaking the Word of God. You can undo what you pray by what you say. Do you realize that? You have to say what you pray, and if you pray it, but say something different, you'll undo the effect of what you prayed. If you prayed and believed you received, then you go away and say, well, I just don't know if I got anything. I think Pastor Debbie said she was preaching on this in the class, you know, the healing class. Isn't that right? It's important that you say what you pray, because you can undo what you prayed by saying the wrong thing. The word confession in the Greek, and I'm closing, I know it looks like I'm starting in on something new, but I'm just wrapping this up. The word confession in the Greek means to say the same thing as. In other words, you're agreeing with God. And when you prayed and said, I believe I receive, that's agreeing with God, because he said, when you pray, believe you receive. That's agreeing with God. And when you pray, you believe you receive. And we're talking about redemptive rights here now. Because there's other kinds of praying. We talked about that last service, I believe. But when you pray and you, disagree with what you pray, that'll undo that prayer. So you can pray, like I said, until you peel the paint off the walls. But then if you go out and speak words in disagreement with God, you're not going to see a single thing about what you prayed in line with what you prayed. Amen? Well, praise God. Let's close with that. Did you get anything out of that this morning? Years ago, I heard Bill Gates was invited, I guess, to a college university. You hear me say this before? I'm going to say it again. He was invited to a college university to field questions from, I guess it was a business school or people getting their degree in business or something. And they allowed people to go to a microphone and ask him questions. And so he was answering questions. And I don't know why I was watching it. I saw part of it and just got intrigued by it or something. And somebody asked him a question. They said, if everything you have, because at this time he had already greatly succeeded with the IBM computer. I mean, Microsoft, excuse me, and very, very wealthy and everything. And they said, if you had everything you have right now taken away from you, he said, I'm not talking about your family. You know, that's too precious. I'm not talking about that. But if you had everything you have right now taken away from you except for one thing, what would it be that you'd want to keep? He didn't stutter. He didn't halt. He didn't think about it. He said, oh, that's easy. He said, just let me keep the knowledge of how we did it. I thought, he values the knowledge more than he values the product. Isn't that interesting? I think we ought to start valuing the knowledge of God And, I mean, even knowledge in the natural of whatever industry God calls you into. I mean, I'm not poo-pooing that. But I'm saying you can have all that and not have the knowledge of God. And Satan will take advantage of your ignorance of God. Amen? That's very, very important to understand. Because I believe Christians don't emphasize it enough. They don't see the value of it like it should be valued. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Remember he said in James, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests. Knowing this. Knowing this. Notice that. Count it all joy when you know. When you know something, you count it all joy. Isn't that right? Count it all joy. What we could say is, when you know truth, it changes you. When other people are crying, you're rejoicing. Why on earth would you be rejoicing? You know something. You know something that can't be seen. Can you say amen?